30:22. Do not allow yourself to be distracted. We must now focus on accountability.
I get to see it. I'm a firsthand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform. But the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty.
Yes, they are exposed now. The light has been shined into their darkness, and now the genocidal rats are fleeing the sinking ship.
Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a news?
All right. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, Tony Fauci is finally leaving our government. Sadly, it's not to go to a prison cell, or maybe more appropriately, before a firing squad. But you know, we talked a lot this past week about all of the evil that Fauci committed with COVID. How he lied to cover up the origins of the intentionally released virus. How he helped drag this country into suicidal lockdowns and murderous vax mandates in order to puff up his own importance. How he lied about strapping our kids behind oxygen-inhibiting, bacteria-ridden Sharia face muzzles for hours on end. But let's not forget, Fauci has been a top medical official in this country for 40 years. And we will never forget all of the evil that he committed decades ago as well. Last fall, Robert Kennedy Jr. exposed the real Anthony Fauci, including his strategy with experimental AIDS drugs. Kennedy revealed that Fauci approved testing drugs like AZT on orphaned children, when we already knew that these were toxic in adults. About 14,000 children were press ganged into this human experiment, and many of them died. And this wasn't a panicked strategy in the first days of the AIDS epidemic either. No, these tests on children were continued throughout the 90s and even into the early 2000s. Celia Farber is a print journalist and author who's with the RFK Group, and she joins us now. Celia, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Stu.
So, the light has been shined into the darkness of evil, and Tony Fauci is the epitome of a genocidal, sociopathic mass murderer. At least that's what it looks like to us. Are we overstating that?
Let me think about how to answer that. It's not that you're not overstating. What I would say, though, I would switch it out a little bit and say that he lorded over and created and fomented a culture of medical sadism and mass death. And it took a lot. There are so many arms to the octopus. So I just want to steer slightly away from, because otherwise we're encouraging the idea that when Fauci goes, the problem goes. So he built up entire systems, and they included hundreds, thousands of the story that I cut my teeth on in journalism was HIV/AIDS and everything he got up to there. So it wasn't Fauci alone. He was at the top of the pyramid always, making, controlling, punishing, cutting funding from anyone who stepped out of line. He was the perfect controller of the whole system. But it's a massive system, and it includes thousands of organizations most Americans would have thought were the good guys, benevolent AIDS organizations, charities. People have walked and done bicycle runs and raised money for what was called AIDS research, right? Didn't you for many, many years think that AIDS research was basically a good thing in
our
society?
Yes.
And what do we need? More money.
Yeah,
more money.
How many years did I think CPS actually protected children?
Exactly. So now we're in this era, thank God, that where all these masks and veils and covers for crimes are falling off. So I'm not correcting you. I just want to say that there are so many people whose name finally does come up as it should, but there are so many names that need to come up, so many organizations. For example, I'll just cite one off the top of my head, Housing Works. Have you ever heard of Housing Works? It's a very successful, it's like sort of a combination of a charity, AIDS charity, and a thrift store chain. They were involved in denouncing the documentary that exposed some of the experiments on children that we're going to talk about. They were involved in browbeating the BBC to remove the film from its archives, right? So these kinds of things, AMFAR, Gay Men's Health Crisis, ACT UP, TAC in South Africa, some of these you may not have heard of, they're all part of this octopus. And what this octopus did was it made damn sure that anybody who stuck their head up and said, wait a minute, these drugs are toxic, these children are dying, these children are suffering horrific side effects, bam, they would slam back down with the piety. And the piety was, how dare you get in the way of critical AIDS research and life-saving drugs, right? And so all of them anointed themselves, the priesthood, as the people who were saving lives. And their enemy was the virus. The virus really has to go in quotation marks. I know you're up on all of this now, but it took me decades to peel back this onion and see, really, really, it's a story of unbelievable, I'm going to say witchcraft, where witchcraft meets biotech pseudoscience.
And the media is complicit in all of this, has not only given them permission to tell their lies on these major broadcast and cable news networks, but also knew that they were lying the whole time, and then yet continue to this day to prop up Fauci as some sort of a humanitarian hero, knowing that he's responsible for all of these crimes.
Well, here's how it worked, Stu. The PSYOP went like this. Anything to fight the virus. Now, when they say the virus, they mean we patented tests that we're calling tests that cannot test for infection of this, what we're calling a virus. So that's where the scam begins. So they would take, for example, healthy children who tested positive on antibody tests for HIV. As far as the world was concerned and the PSYOP that was going out, these children, quote, had AIDS, right? You see that, how that goes? And now we're all living in this. Now everybody understands it because they did the same thing with the PCR tests and what they're calling cases of COVID. So the first part of what I'm calling the witchcraft is to conflate meaningless tech antibody or PCR tests with a human being who's about to die anyway. So any intervention that you, heroic Fauci, AMFAR, Housing Works, whoever you are, any heroic intervention on your part, all you were trying to do was save the life of this already dead person or child, as far as the PSYOP and the public are concerned. That's how they got away with it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. So, and I acknowledge what you're saying. When Fauci goes, the problem doesn't go. As a matter of fact, I see this thing getting a whole lot worse. It's like saying when Soros goes, you know, we clean up that. No, there's always a successor. So who are they and how do we combat this?
It's the mentality. It's the whole thing needs to be dismantled and dissolved in a big, you know, vat of cultural acid, right? The whole thing has to go. The notion that somebody like a Tony Fauci or anybody else gets to launch a virus scare on the American public and the world without any proof of existence or causation.
By the way, this virus has never been isolated. Still, right. Nobody has been able to show me that it actually even exists. For that matter, right. I'm becoming a viral questionnaire, I guess you could say, a skeptic, in general, broadly.
That's the root right there. Because until we get to that root, they're going to launch the next one and the next one.
Because they found a successful formula to create fear. And that is the one emotion that you can use to get human beings to do something that otherwise they would never normally even consider.
Absolutely. It's been the perfect pretext and cover for all of these crimes that we're just beginning to see them now. And I think the hardest part for Americans is to believe it. It's hard even for me, even though I've been documenting it since the late 1980s. And the thing that's the most difficult to convey is actually the sadistic nature of it. Because people think, again, going back to AIDS research, that was like, if you were a great person, you worked on AIDS research and you raised money for AIDS research. Actually, what was inside that culture was almost like a very, very demonic, destructive, I'm going to say sadistic spirit. And those of us who were in there trying to bring it out into the light, we were always accused of ourselves being mass murderers, because what were we doing? We were tarnishing the reputation of what they always called life-saving drugs. And so we're in a version of this now. It's like the second incarnation of the Fauci formula. And he's not really the author of the formula, but he's been the perfect enforcer of the formula. And if you notice, he never has to predict anything accurately. He never has to actually stop death. Like, I want to say, so Anthony Fauci, you say that COVID, it's spreading, it's doing this, it's doing that. Well, why wasn't it your job then, if we buy into the virus paradigm, which we don't, why wasn't it his job then to stop that from happening? Why wasn't that his job, right? If you just think about the most basic, elemental, why wasn't he fired on day one?
Because it's all lies. Every single bit of it is a lie. The virus itself, the fact that he didn't fund gain-of-function research using taxpayer dollars, the fact that masks help, the fact that only 7% of the population would have to be vaccinated to reach herd immunity and then the pressure would come off, they were all lies. He later admitted to lying about that.
But see, here, I thought of this recently. Here's the thing, Stu. It's darkly fascinating about Fauci. Fauciism, like the Fauci way, is to have the inalienable, I can't say that word.
You said it correctly. Inalienable. Yeah.
Inalienable right to be wrong about everything, but it doesn't count as wrong, because he's Fauci and this is Fauciism. So he gets on all of these shows and he's very buddy-buddy with all these journalists. And he speaks, I call it fractal speech, right? Like it goes this way, that way. I try to follow, he just said this, then he contradicted himself, then he goes back to the middle. He didn't say anything, but there's a spell going on and you can see it. And the news interviewer will say, oh, thank you, Dr. Fauci. Like as if they were just given some wisdom from the Sphinx, you know?
If you have not read this book, The Real Anthony Fauci, this is a must read. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. And here's the problem, is that it's a lot easier to tell somebody that they've been busted in a lie, or to tell somebody that this is from... It's a lot harder to convince somebody to admit that they have been successfully lied to, that they have been fooled, that the wool has been pulled over their eyes. And that's right. As a result of that, that they have themselves assisted in harming others, namely children. I'm out of time here. I've got to go. But The Real Anthony Fauci, make sure that you get the book by Robert Kennedy Jr. It's just an absolutely fascinating read. And Celia, thank you so much for coming today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Welcome back anytime. Great and knowledgeable guest. And we're going to start talking more in depth about how this is just not a coincidence that all of a sudden these platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, the censorship is loosening. The bots and the algorithms and the AI that used to censor speech criticizing Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca or the shots or the virus in general are suddenly loosening. It's inarguable. As Dr. Jane Ruby said on this program the other day, you can't hide genocide. You can't hide a mass murder. As a matter of fact, we're going to be having a guest today that is one of those people. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. People are being killed, and the genocidal rats are fleeing the sinking ship. So now they're going to pivot and look for a fall guy. It's going to be President Donald Trump. All right, I want to talk about my great friends over at Gold Co., and they are my great friends because they're doing great things for all of the listeners, for the Stu crew, for this family that we have right here, and protecting you against tax hikes and hyperinflation and government theft and hundreds of billions of dollars being sent over to the corrupt government of Ukraine, and now to preserve the sovereignty of Taiwan. And what's next? They're going to come and steal your money. Financial reset. See, Goldco recognizes all of this, and that's why they want you to protect everything that you've worked hard to earn and even harder to save with physical gold and silver. What happens when we have a recession? Like we do right now, a full-blown recession. Usually, these precious metals like gold and silver, physical gold and silver, skyrocket. The trend is continuing because everything is cyclical. Invest in physical gold and silver. Call 855-706-GOLD. 855-706-GOLD. When you call Goldco, you get up to $10,000 or more in free silver. Did you hear that? $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you call them at 855-706-GOLD.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
Welcome back. So for all of 2021, Twitter was lights out for anybody criticizing the Pfizer and Moderna jabs. Alex Berenson, for example, was banned, as were hundreds of others. But now the restrictions suddenly are looser. Curious, right? Alex Berenson's back. There's an absolute flood of vaccine regret that the censors just can't keep hidden anymore. It almost seems like they're endorsing this at this point. Well, we found one such case of regret just a few days ago. A user on Twitter named Aaliyah made a post showing a photograph of herself before and after getting the jab. She said this, quote, "A year ago today, I made the worst decision of my life. I forgot I took pics of myself before and after the shot. I think it's clear that I immediately felt sick, tingling pain all over my body, dizziness, nausea, sweating. You can see it in my eyes. As soon as I got the second, I immediately started having tingling throughout my body, dizziness, nausea. I started sweating. I had to sit at Walgreens for over an hour before I could drive home. I was in urgent care within 2 days," unquote. We managed to find Aaliyah, and we discovered that there was actually even more that happened to her. Eventually, she developed a COVID arm, which made her limbs swell up to twice its normal size. Yet when she went into urgent care, the employees simply told her, "Oh, you'll be fine, just a few days. Don't worry about it." And they ignored her. Aaliyah had to go to multiple doctors just to finally get some treatment. She says that the drug that helped her the most was ivermectin. Yet the first doctor that she went to literally refused to even say that drug's name when she requested it. Her illness even reawakened a case of what she thinks was mono from the past. And this disease then spread to her daughter as well. Aaliyah's fundraising for her medical treatments. Please go to Give, Send, Go. There's a link below this video on Rumble as well as StuPeters.com. Check it out. We encourage you to donate if you're able. Aaliyah joins us now. Aaliyah, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, Stu. I'm very grateful to be here.
Of course. So I got to ask straight away, what led you to this jab in the first place?
I was pretty much against it for all of 2020, 2021, but about halfway through, my elderly parents watch my daughter when I work, and they started to get scared after my sister had a really rough case of COVID, and my sister was pretty scared, and she started to scare them even more, and they thought that if I got it, I would be protecting them, but I knew in my gut that it was a really bad idea just due to my pre-existing medical conditions. I just didn't expect to be proven right. You know, I'd been searching and I couldn't find any stories, you know, so I was like, well, I guess I would hear really bad news if something was terribly wrong. And if it's going to make them feel better, I just folded and I didn't listen to my gut.
So you got the first and the second shot. After getting the first shot and having these negative side effects, which what we know to be intended consequences, because we believe that this is a cynical and diabolical plan. Why did you get the second one?
Well, I mean, the side effects from the first one were just the normal, you know, you kind of feel like you have the flu and then you feel okay in a day or two. The second one, as soon as they injected it, I knew something was terribly wrong. I could feel it move from my arm into the rest of my body, kind of pins and needles. You could feel it like creeping down to my legs, my feet, which caused me to be super dizzy right away, nauseous, drop sweating in the Walgreens. And they told me to wait until I felt well enough to drive home, which I did for over an hour. I don't even know, but nobody really checked on me. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to drive home. And then I was like, okay, for like 24 hours. And then my arm blew up. And then I went to urgent care. And then the pain started in my extremities. I could barely move my fingers or my arms, and my legs were just excruciating pain throughout my body.
So you looked around, even though your gut told you, hey, this doesn't feel right. I shouldn't do this. So you went to the internet and you tuned into the media to look around for anybody reporting negative side effects, and you were able to find nothing?
I really struggled, even though I knew, like, I have a genetic disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And I knew there was no possible way that what my doctors were telling me about a new gene therapy that had only been tested for a short bit could be safe for me with my pre-existing genetic disorder. I thought that was craziness, and nobody knew what they were talking about.
Are you still suffering negative impact from the shots?
Yeah, I've been completely, basically incapacitated for a full year, because then it went on. It got worse. And by November, I had every neurological issue you could dream of. I thought I was going to die for 6 months. I was just lost. I could barely think. I could barely talk. I could barely get up. It was, I honestly lay there. Everybody thought I was going to die, including me. And it's only after I found good doctors of my own, because I, you know, it was after that I found the good doctors that were not on social media, because I didn't, they had all been censored. And then when I started talking about what I was going through on Twitter, I got 3 back-to-back bans, and I'm like one strike away of losing my original Twitter account. So I had to make a new one, which is the one that Lauren found me on. And suddenly everybody's liking and sharing, where I spent months where nobody liked or shared anything. I was so censored, or shadow banned, I guess, technically.
So obviously you recognize that, I mean, you're an adult, you made your own decision. So of course we can't blame anybody. You know, we make decisions. Look, we have positive consequence. We have negative consequence for decisions we make. That's something that we teach our kids, right? I mean, so, yes. Hey, you've got free will. This is what you did.
Yeah.
But does it piss you off that you weren't able to find the truth about this? I mean, don't you feel like the media is really the enemy of the people at this point, that we just absolutely have the most dishonest, propaganda-filled, lying, criminal media that you could ever imagine?
Oh, I think at this point, after, you know, I even said, during like the beginning of COVID, like, they're driving me insane. Like, I know what they're saying isn't true. And then I just had to stop listening to TV, because it was driving me crazy, because I knew what they were saying wasn't true. And I had to, I'm not into any of this. You know, when COVID came and all of a sudden the government took my job, I was like, I thought, what? You know, I was like totally flabbergasted. I hadn't paid attention to politics or the news for a decade. I was totally out of the loop.
Yeah, because we don't have a government. There is a corporate government crime syndicate, a mafia, a mob, a group of tyrannical criminals is what we have.
Right. And after being injured, you know, one piece of information after the other, finding out that the media took so much money, the safe and effective, just still every day, safe and effective. What are you talking about? We don't exist. And you see it on Twitter all the time. This is my experience. I want others to know that they could also be having an adverse reaction. To eliminate people from medical care because we are vaccine injured, That's my other big frustration. Like, God bless the long COVID. I want them to get help, but we deserve help too. And I have been advocating, like, okay, I have almost the same exact symptoms as long COVID. I have dysautonomia. I have mast cell activation. I have fatigue. I have reawakened mono. Like, these are all symptoms of long COVID, but nobody will treat me because
long COVID
I'm vaccine injured.
Means vaccine injured, essentially.
Right.
And
right.
If you look at the data coming out of Britain, they have now been forced to acknowledge that the majority of their hospitalized, quote, COVID patients are actually vaccine injured. There's 10,000 publications that highlight all of the injuries and deaths in Britain.
Right.
We don't have access to that here.
No.
And yes, you're being denied care because you're vaccine injured, because that's what the plan is. They want you right. to die.
Right.
I want to hear just a little bit about this this passing mono on to your daughter. You believe that this is reawakened mono. Do you acknowledge that what this could be is shedding or transmission of the inoculation that you had onto your daughter?
Actually, Stu, when I was going back through the timeline, finding the pictures and stuff for today, I remembered that after my reaction, my daughter ended up in the hospital. And she had a rash all over her face. Nobody knew what was wrong. They just thought she had some viral infection. I had to hold her on my lap in the waiting room of the hospital for over an hour before they COVID tested her, before she could be taken back. And then I didn't find out I had reinfected, you know, or awakened mono until January, you know, and I had the adverse reaction in late August. And then my daughter spent 2 months up and down with mono-like symptoms, but she got misdiagnosed as having a sinus infection. They put her on amoxicillin, and she had the most horrific rash hives I've ever seen on a human being. And she's an itty-bitty girl. She was 5 in preschool, and now it's kindergarten. She just had her first day yesterday, and she has all the same symptoms of mono again.
These things are catastrophic. It is a complete atrocity what's happening. And we thank you for sharing it on Twitter, for allowing us to have you here, for telling your story, because every single day we need to focus on the fallout. Nobody is going to be safe. Nobody that pushed this thing, nobody that was responsible for manufacturing or marketing this thing, nobody that told lies and pushed propaganda about this thing, nobody that endorsed this thing, nobody that said this was safe and effective is going to be safe as long as I am breathing. There will be accountability and exposure every single day on this platform. And thanks to people like you who are brave enough and have enough common sense to put it together that this is what's happening. Stop. If you had the shots and you're ill, if you're experiencing these symptoms, guess what? You need to be warning others about what you're going through and acknowledge, yes, this is what it is. This is not a holy sacrament. We're allowed to tell the truth about what these injections are doing, and that's what we intend to do. Aaliyah Renee, thank you so much for being here. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. I really appreciate your time.
The boosters are killing millions.
Shut up, vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
So Australia has been using the COVID emergency and, of course, the climate emergency as excuses to create the most far-reaching systems of social control this side of communist China. For example, the city of Gold Coast in Queensland State has created a citywide network covering 500 square miles. They say this is to enable the greater use of the Internet of Things. Put another way, it's a means for the government to force every device to be plugged into a central database for tracking, and if necessary, deactivation. Yeah, to eliminate you. It's an integral part of the push for global digital ID, with governments and private companies tracking everything that you do. And it's not just in Gold Coast, but all over Australia. Maria Z is the host of Uncensored on the Stu Peters Network. She's going to be diving into this in more greater detail, but because of its importance, we wanted her here to tell you exactly what it is that's going on. And to that end, she joins us now. Maria, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Stu. Yes, you're absolutely right. This stuff is happening in Australia behind the scenes with no one realizing, and Australia is really leading the world in this. Already on the Gold Coast, they have installed a commercial grade low power wide area network, which uses the globally adopted standard LORAWAN technology. What this is it enables the Internet of Things to work. So this is already switched on the Gold Coast. We saw a video recently emerging of a gentleman walking the streets talking about how every 5 meters or so, there are cameras everywhere. This is a part of how they're going to monitor you and monitor everything that you do. But it goes beyond what people would think is just monitoring. The Internet of Things allows your neighbor to see your thoughts, to see your behavior. If you make a wrong supermarket purchase, your neighbor will be able to see that. We know that in Bathurst, they plan on doing this by 2025. That's the date to finalize this in Bathurst. So we're not looking at agenda 20, 30, 40, 50 here. So they want it done by 2025. And in that plan for the smart city of Bathurst, it says that there are going to be apps that control what you buy. There are going to be apps that notify the government that you've used too much water this month. So like the Germans being told that they have to wash with rags, this is what it is. So there's already, and there's a lot of talk about these water meters in all of these documents. So I really think, you know, we just saw an article come out of the UK yesterday telling people that they have to get used to drinking sewer water. So this is people need to get used to drinking sewage, Stu. This is what they want you eating, bugs and drinking sewage. And so I think that that's why all of these documents, wherever I look, they have water control listed on there. Chicago, for example, has already opened up 600 data sets that are enabling the implementation of this smart city. Chicago is one of many cities.
Cricket soup and crap sandwiches. I mean, this is where we're actually headed. No. Your Holstein and your Hertford and your Angus, no, way too dangerous. We want you ingesting bugs and eating crap sandwiches. I have no words. You'll be covering this on Uncensored on the Stu Peters Network, stupeters.com. You're going to be talking with Karen Kingston about this. Is that right?
Yes, correct. She's got a lot of information on this. I'm looking forward to digging deeper. This is something people really need to be aware of, Stu. This is worse than the COVID prisons that we faced. And so we've got to keep shining light on it.
We saw the people in other countries tearing down these facial recognition cameras. And I don't blame them one bit for this. This is over surveillance. This is 100% tyrannical overreaching, ushering in of full Nazism, really is what it is. If you make the wrong medical decision, if you make the wrong purchase, like you said, at the supermarket, if you're using too much diesel fuel, which by the way, will be eliminated anyways, you just have to own nothing and be happy. That's what they're telling you. And eat bugs and live in pods. Maria Z and Karen Kingston on this, the Stu Peters Network, again on Uncensored, hosted by the beautiful and extremely talented and relentless Maria Z. You've been unrelenting in bringing the truth, and we really appreciate it. Such a great addition to the network. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stu.
Of course. Well, Stu Crew, we need you to be strong, dominant brains, making sure that nobody can pull the wool over your eyes or dupe you with an excess of fake or false or mal or misinformation, disinformation, all of the above. The propaganda machine is working at its highest capacity right now. Several psyops running in this country, and it takes the best of you to be able to remain focused and do away with the distractions. And that doesn't just include going through all of the information that you hear about on the Stu Peters Show or its network. No, that also means the distractions that you deal with in everyday life, trying to be the best mom you can be, the best homeschooler, the best husband, the best father, the best coworker, the best boss, employee, C-level executive, entrepreneur, business owner, all of the distractions that you face every day, you can cut right through it with the brain supplements from Newtopia. Go to newtopia.com/Stu Peters and find these nootropics brain supplements. They have a custom package awaiting you. That's right. Fill out the personal questionnaire. Tell people how it is that you process your information, how it is that you think, and Newtopia will put together this custom package just for you, whether it is requiring more creativity, focus, drive, aggression in the gym, all of these things, relaxation in the evening times, be able to relax at night. That's really important. Get your mind off the everyday hustle and bustle from work, the stresses of everyday life, and then, of course, the doom and gloom and the black pills that you deal with every day when you listen to this damn program. Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. They're 100% safe, 100% legal. You won't go to jail for using them, and they're non-addictive as well. Nootropics, brain supplements from Newtopia. Go to newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Welcome back. So if you want one overarching sign of how corrupt our fake rulers are, you can just take it from this one single fact, that their entire fake regime is built and has to be built on lies. Everything they say, everything they do, everything they grandstand and publicly call for is all 100% destroyed by the light of the truth. So they have to lie constantly. They have to build new lies on top of old ones, bigger lies on top of smaller ones. Look, for example, at the war on terror that we spent 20 years fighting. They got us to invade Iraq with lies about weapons of mass destruction. Thousands of Americans, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis died. But the people who actually masterminded that war faced no consequences at all. They kept us fighting in Afghanistan for 20 years with lies about building democracy and uplifting the people of Afghanistan. It was all fake. In reality, the $1 trillion that we spent got funneled to warlords and skimmed off by corrupt defense contractors. The Afghan army and government, all fake. Thousands of normal Americans died for a lie, while the lying frauds got rich and empowered in the DC Beltway. And the moment that we left, of course, the whole sham collapsed overnight. And then there's the lies here in this country. The lie that our police and national history and society as a whole are all racist, and that this can be fixed by letting criminals run wild and enacting systematic discrimination against white people, Christians. There's the lie that boys can decide that they're really girls and vice versa, and that we should spend millions of dollars on hormones and horrifying mutilation surgeries to reflect that decision. Oh, and that we should take children away from parents who object to any of this. And then there are the lies that our leaders tell about themselves. That they deserve power. That they're our best. That they're our most moral. That they're our most talented. That might be the biggest lie of all. Some of our leaders, like our so-called vice president, literally slept their way to the top. There's the people who are successful entirely because of who they know and who's willing to protect them. If you're an ordinary American, like us here, just demanding fair elections or defending your business from criminal rioters, that could get you decades in prison. But if you're Ted Kennedy, you can kill a girl and still be a U.S. senator. If you're Barney Frank, you can run a gay brothel out of your apartment and serve in the House for another 2 decades. And if you're Hunter Biden, you can sell this country out to China and Ukraine, and God knows who else, so you can get money to blow on drugs and possibly underage prostitutes, probably both, and you'll get away with all of it. The press claimed that Hunter Biden's laptop was fake, that it was Russian disinfo. We now know that they knew this was a lie the whole time. And we also know, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg just a few days ago, that the FBI intervened directly in our election, ordering Twitter and Facebook to suppress the story by calling it a Russian plot. And it's not just Hunter Biden, it turns out. The system is determined to protect the whole corrupt, disgusting criminal Biden clan. In the days before the 2020 election, you might remember, we didn't just learn a lot about Hunter Biden. We learned a lot about Ashley Biden, too, because the website National File managed to get its hands on a diary that she wrote in 2019. The reaction of the press and social media was a total blackout. They ignored it as much as they could. When they couldn't ignore, they censored. And when they couldn't censor, they just lied and said the diary had to be fake, just another Russian op. The first priority was never the truth. It was protecting the criminal Biden enterprise. So now here we are, 2 years later, and once again, the press has to admit that they were lying and that, in fact, it was all true. And the way we're doing it is by putting the people who found the diary in prison. Hunter Biden can live the most flagrantly criminal life imaginable with drugs and prostitutes and bribes from Chinese billionaires and a bogus art career for money laundering, and he will never see a single day in prison. But the people who found Ashley Biden's diary were ruthlessly hunted down by the FBI, just like every random person who stood on the Capitol steps on January 6th. Sure, the guilty pleas of the two men who found Ashley's diary got a whole lot of attention these last few days, but even now, even at conservative news outlets, people are ignoring what was in the diary. First, there's the fact that Ashley Biden is just another drug-addicted, promiscuous wreck, just like her brother. But then there's the part where she surmises why she ended up this way. She says that she was wildly sexualized from a very young age. She remarks that she took showers with her dad, Joe Biden, showers that, quote, probably weren't appropriate. Oh, I'll bet. National File had this story 2 years ago and published it. And even so-called conservative outlets like Fox News teamed up with Twitter and Facebook and CNN to suppress the whole thing. Because just like with our liberal elites for mainstream conservative news outlets, the truth is absolute poison. If the people really understood how their rulers lived, there would be blood in the streets. Noel Fritch is the founder and publisher at National File and a great friend of this show, and he joins us now. Noel Fritch, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stu.
So this diary has been proven to be authentic. This diary proves that the alleged sitting president is indeed a pedophile.
It does. And we have had that up on nationalfile.com since October 24th. We published the diary. I prefer to call it a journal, actually. A diary sort of makes one think that it's like a little 8-year-old girl or a teenager writing this thing. This was a woman writing this as she was going through divorce. This is a grown woman, 35 years old, 38, 39 years old at the time, somewhere in there. And this property was left behind in a house in Florida. And I'm going to get into a little bit about how it was recovered. And the media process, I think, is very important behind this entire ordeal as it's playing out even right now. With the sort of fake pro wrestling WWE Monday Night Raw thing that we're seeing on TV between Fox News and the New York Times as they argue for who's more correct when we both know that they're both utterly corrupt. But yes, the main takeaway is the Biden diary is legit. We knew that back in October. We did our homework. National File's done a lot of these. Patrick Howley is the reporter who broke this. He's the guy who broke the Ralph Northam story. With the blackface and the Klan hood. He has a long track record of breaking these stories years ahead of the mainstream media. The NXIVM cult he broke. He's broken a bunch of stories. We had Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, who dresses up as Hitler that nobody wants to talk about, even in the conservative media, doesn't want to talk about the Democrat Senator of Arizona dressing up as Hitler. Those are stories hopefully we'll see more of in the coming months. But this story is legit, and even conservative media wanted to cover it up. It's unbelievable why they would want to cover up a story about the sitting president, this Democrat that they say that they hate and they revile and they want out of office. Marjorie says she wants to impeach, but she won't talk about the diary where the president's daughter talks about taking inappropriate showers with the president. And she says to herself, was I molested? I think so.
She contributed to her entire war chest. Marjorie Taylor Greene blew up all of her fundraising over this fake impeach Biden stuff. That was just a ploy to rile up her base and attract more fundraising. We know that. We called that out very early on this program. But you told me, you told the Stu Peters Show off the air that you spoke with James O'Keefe, that you spoke with Steve Bannon, that this diary has been in the hands of outlets that would surprise our audience when they learn that they spiked the whole thing.
Yeah, a little bit of background on that. It's really important that the audience knows how this stuff works behind the scenes. The reason that the diary came to National File and Patrick Howley is because they trusted us, number one, but they were disgruntled, the sources there at Project Veritas. It's funny, National File, Veritas. We had to run a sting on Veritas, basically, to get this now legit bona fide document out to the public a week ahead of the election. Let that sink in. James O'Keefe was going to spike the diary. James O'Keefe wasn't going to report the diary that he had actually verified was legit. Okay. And the whistleblowers inside of Project Veritas were disgruntled with this. actually, James was doing this at the behest of a gentleman who has a lot of street cred out there called John Solomon. He has justthenews.com, and Hannity always has him on as an insider source, and he knows everything going on. Well, John Solomon spiked, to a large degree, was responsible for spiking the Ashley Biden diary, which we now know is true. I'm very curious to see if John Solomon is going to cover the contents of that diary now over at Just the News. The diary came to us. We verified it. We had multiple sources inside of Veritas that we spoke with, and we verified it. Once we were satisfied that it was legit, we took it to press. And the media, of course, as you explained, did their best to stifle the coverage of that. For 2 years now, they've been doing this. Later, a year later, November of 11, this famous raid of James O'Keefe. Now, this is how the media operates. They're making it about everything but the contents of the diary now, including Fox News and Megyn Kelly and everybody else who will parade James O'Keefe around like he's a victim. Now, remember, James O'Keefe is the man who did not run the diary. He did not publish the diary. And he's getting all this credit like he did. Have you heard James O'Keefe mention the fact that the diary is legit until about April of this year? No, not once. Has he said, oh, it's on nationalfile.com. Go look at it. It's legit. No, not once. James O'Keefe has not done that. There's a problem there. I'm not sure what exactly is wrong with Mr. O'Keefe. He does a lot of funny dancing. You guys can go Google all of his Thriller dances and weird habits over there on his Twitter page. This is conservative ink. It's really disgusting once you get into the underbelly of it. I don't want to belabor that too much. The key thing is that you had evidence of a crime that was recovered, evidence of a sex crime, sexual molestation of Ashley Biden at the hands of her dad, the sitting president, who resides at the White House. And nobody's doing anything about that crime, including, by the way, Ron DeSantis, the attorney general of Florida, not doing anything about it. Florida Department of Law Enforcement, not doing anything about it. Obviously, the Southern District of New York, the federal prosecutors there are not doing anything about it. Other than, by the way, colluding with the New York Times. See, New York Times has an office inside of SDNY. People don't know that. They are stenographers. New York Times are stenographers for the feds. They are running interference for the Bidens together with the DOJ. That is what's happening.
You also gave this to Steve Bannon, your report to the Stu Peters Show.
Bannon knew about it. I do not have confirmation that Bannon was in possession of it. I do have confirmation.
What do you mean? It's been posted at nationalfile.com for 2 years. What do you mean he didn't have possession of it? It's been posted for 2 years.
Oh, certainly it's public. Yeah, no, no question about that. It's been public. I'm speaking specifically prior to the publication of it. I don't know that he had it. But yes, since October 26th, it's been public. And there's no excuse for any of these folks in the conservative media space not to have covered this. There are some out there. OAN is covering it now. Epoch Times is covering it now. I'm hopeful that maybe Newsmax, but there's questions about those folks over there forcing vaccines on people. This thing should be mainstream. This thing ahead of the November elections, of course, this should be mainstream. Kevin McCarthy needs to do everything he can do to drag President Biden out of the White House in handcuffs for the molestation of his daughter.
I'm not overly excited about the prospect of a Kamala Harris presidency. However, I recognize that it's all fake anyways, that none of the administration is legitimate. We have all kinds of evidence to question the veracity of the 2020 election. It was fraudulent. It was stolen. That is this show's position, period. And I don't have any problems being unabashed and saying those things. So no, I'm not really excited about Kamala Harris running things, but as we know, Joe Biden isn't running anything anyways. But what we have is evidence of the commission of a sex crime against a minor child by her own admission in a diary that has been journal, that has been proven to be authentic, and the cover-up thereafter. Yes, there is an illegitimate pedophile in the White House, allegedly. I don't know if he lives there or not. Everything seems to be a movie set nowadays. It's our position that everything here is fake and that, like you alluded to, it's a pro wrestling match. Everything between the opening bell and the final pin is all just theater. So when will the mainstream media start running with this diary?
We got to put the pressure on, Stu. All of your viewers have to go ask the Bannons and the John Solomons and the Sean Hannitys, okay? Levin, I've sent it out to all of these folks. They all have it now. There's no excuse for them not to be covering this. I mean, make a hashtag on Twitter. I don't know. Biden sex abuse. Hashtag Biden sex abuse. This thing should be all over the mastheads of every newspaper in the country, every TV channel. It's absurd. You can't even make this up that we have a child accused child sex abuser sitting in the White House.
I'm running up against a hard break here, but I got to ask you this. I've got about 3 minutes for you to answer. Have you given this to any government officials, any elected representatives, anybody that currently sits in the U.S. House or the Senate?
Yeah, Marjorie has it. I've texted her. She is in possession of it. One would hope that she would roll this into her messaging about the impeachment of Mr. Biden. I don't think impeachment goes clearly far enough. You're going to see more of that in the future. I think that, look, the go to nationalfile.com, the diary's there. It's 112 pages, I believe. I know some patriots who live within driving spitting distance of Washington, D.C. It would be great to have some of them walk up with this diary and hand it to these folks and put it in their hands. And maybe we can see it, have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Who's occupying the White House.
Real citizen guerrilla journalism. How about that? Take this diary, print it out, physically walk up to these so-called representatives of the people. It's all fake. Walk it up to these people, hand it to them and tell them, hey, what you going to do about this? Why do we have an illegitimate pedophile in the White House? And why are you unwilling to say anything about it? Because largely, if people at their dinner tables knew about this, they'd be having conversations about this. This would be important for people to know how embarrassing and right out criminal it is for this to be occurring in this country. Does not surprise me. And it does not surprise me that National File and Patrick Cowley broke the story either, because you have proven yourselves time and time again. Tremendous outlet. Nationalfile.com. Go and get the diary. Noel Fritsch, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu.
No, thank you. The salt must flow. The light of truth must be shined into the darkness. I don't know if you feel it or not, but there's a lot of pressure out here. We are in an escalating time frame of executions and imprisonment for dissidents and people who don't go along with this fake pro wrestling match. People who refuse to be subservient serfs are going to be put into the gulag and executed. We don't need career politicians. We don't need phony, polished grandstanders faking like they're actually representatives of the people. No, we need dissidents and an uprising of American people who demand that these people are held accountable. One of the things I'm most proud of on this program is that we have never taken one red cent from Big Pharma, and never will, or from corporate conglomerates or big globalist corporations and enterprises. Nope, we will never, ever do that. Instead, what we have are actual family-owned small businesses and products that can help you. For example, Curable. KURIBL.com. Go to Curable.com right now. We're talking joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain. We're talking stress and anxiety. Let's see. Let's talk about allergies. Maybe you have Parkinson's. Maybe you have ADHD. Yeah, of course. There's a pill for everything. Antipsychotics, antidepressants. No. Enriching Big Pharma, the poisons that they have injected into our society, they're killing us. CBD from Curable, the hemp grown right here in my home state of Minnesota, a family-owned business, provides all kinds of products on their website at curable.com that can help you with ailments that you would never even know could be treated with CBD. Go there and do the research yourself. I always encourage you to do the research yourself. Go to curable.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Use the promo code STU20 for 20% off site-wide at curable.com. And of course, catastrophically, 75% of Americans suffer from a magnesium deficiency. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters for magnesium breakthrough. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. This is a big deal that leads to an early grave. Sleepless nights, low mood, added stress and anxiety, depression. Don't take the pills that Big Pharma wants to shove down your throat. Magnesium is one of the most critical minerals for your body's overall functioning and health. How productive you are in the gym, when you're exercising, whether or not you're getting the appropriate rest. One pill, the 7 most critical and important types of magnesium, one time before dinner. Take it. Magnesium Breakthrough. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Immediately following the Stu Peters Show, go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. In about 31 seconds, Carlos Cortez is going to give groundbreaking information on how to protect yourself against the recession at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that see us do it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come to the car, and when they do, save the radio!